Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Rotatoes. You have found yourself in the midnight sequence. No, that's kind of dark, actually. I've said that sentence out loud. I've realized it's kind of dark. But the midnight sequence is a pretty cool place. Maybe. We will see in this episode 3 of Arc 11. Very excited for you to check this one out. Meet a whole cast of characters in this particular episode, and gearing towards a pretty climactic ending to this arc, if I do say so myself. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And thank you for listening to these episodes. Don't forget to drop a review if you're enjoying the show. It helps us find new people. But that is enough of me rambling. It's time for me, past me, to take it away. Back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everyone.
Whoa.
I'm gonna throw up.
I am very queasy, Jasper William Cartwright, and opposite me is
I'm gonna Ralph.
Just kidding, my name is Zach Oyama. Ralphing. Did they say Ralphing?
And then, whoa. So you don't say Yarfing? Ralphing?
Ralphing is kind of an
Ralphing. That's just a dude's name.
It's like a Bart Simpson era version of throwing up.
I've never been clear whether that's a regionalism or or like a, because I feel like I heard it in like kids media in the 90s, but I don't know if I ever heard
outside of that.
Like I never, but I also never lived in the South because I moved around a lot, so I never heard.
I didn't grow up with it outside.
No,
of that.
I feel like in the South we just say like, "Oh, dude, I'm gonna throw up.
I'm gonna
freaking hurl."
Yeah, yak, hurl, barf, all of those things. But Ralph's just a guy's name.
Yeah,
King, I don't know where King Ralph. From,
now that I think about it,
that's true. Isn't that a movie?
I felt like the equivalent of that is like in England. If you say you can basically say anything with ed on the end and use it as a phrase to describe how drunk you were. You know, like
what's an example?
I'm absolutely tabled, man. You know,
it's I was Ralph to all hell.
Yeah. Exactly. I was. Oh my god,
dude, we got chaired last night.
Precisely that. Exactly that.
That's good to know. My absolutely candled.
My friend in high school was from England, and I remember one time going there, like they had like. His mom was talking about like shortly after they moved in or someone moved in next to them, and like she's like, I went over to introduce myself and you know he like goes in and he's like, hi, I'm Randy, and she's like, I laughed in his face. I just I never heard it as a name to have someone just come up and just be like, I'm Randy.
You have to understand, Austin Powers had just come out.
Yeah, that's
we
tough.
As a nation had just learned about Randy.
That's very tough for all the Randys as well. Yeah that's well
I'm Zach Oyama, by the
yeah
way.
Okay, yeah. Good, yeah, okay, perfect. Anyone else here? Anyone
I'm Ralph.
And we've got two Ralphs.
Hi, I'm Mike Trapp.
Hey.
And I'm Caldwell Tanner. Do we see our characters as well? Okay.
Up to you. Right. It's loose.
You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out momentarily. If you're jumping in right now, bizarre.
I'm going to say a sentence that includes the word I'm and also turbine and also the word elsewhere spizzles ink, and then you can splice it together. So it's very clearly a break and bite. Cool. Like, I'm Turbine Spizzles.
Incredible strategy.
Yeah, yeah, great. Let's say the sentence. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I just did it, in fact. It was I'm going to say.
Right. Yeah. That's clever. Jesus. Wow.
Wow. That really covered your bases.
Yeah, that was kind of incredible. Yeah. Wow.
I'm Turbine Spizzles, Inc.
I'm also vomiting as well. I should have clarified that earlier.
Sure. Yeah, of course. That makes sense. Well, God. Now we'll take a quick break and get that cleaned up, and we'll come back with the episode 3.
Okay, it's 6 hours later. It was some toxic mess in here, but we got it cleaned.
It burnt through the table, but we're back. And in the last episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast, our trio of unlikely friends and heroes found themselves at the tip of the God Obelisk, where they met the original inventor of the obelisks themselves, Nazak Hafus, in a sort of strange memory-printed form. You found yourself within the room known as the Pantheon Picker. You then promptly spoke to various different planes of existence and the gods that resided there within. You spoke to the realm of Marvel. You tried to contact the realm of time. You looked into Zophine's plane. And finally, you talked to Maris, the Archduke of one of the 9 levels of Hell. From there, you got some pretty interesting information about the way the Midnight Sequence works, before coming to the conclusion and realization that the Midnight Sequence is not actually fulfilling its original purpose. For its original purpose was to be sort of a resting place, a final resting place for minds and lost souls, and a place where they could live again, whereas it does seem like it's being used for an ulterior purpose. You then were played what you thought was Nazak Hafus's last memory, and in fact it turned out to be perhaps not his last recorded memory, as when you travelled up into the room of Midnight Sequence and got inside the pods in order to travel into the Midnight Sequence and discover its secrets, you found you had been double-crossed by this sneaky little orb who had actually had some ulterior motives. We now find ourselves inside these pods, feeling a bit drowsy, and who knows where we will head next. Our heroes have just been somewhat betrayed, potentially is the word.
We got tricked. A classic DM's gambit.
You got.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just say, if you didn't hear it in the article already, that you absolutely could have seen through the
prestige
gambit.
Oh.
But, I'm gonna come over there and take this mic cord and wrap it around your neck.
A classic Nolan twist.
Okay, it was kind of going for like a Shyamalan type thing, but fine, sure. Nolan does twists too. Okay,
does,
if only I could go backwards in time.
He does,
or like forwards and backwards, and like he doesn't.
Like your consciousness goes backwards.
My consciousness goes backwards. Yeah, exactly. So you felt yourself getting a little drowsy.
Mm-hmm.
As your eyes sort of slowly close, and you, Turbine, open your eyes, and there is something light kind of filling the room as you see leaning over your pod two people that you recognize, and they're sort of like banging on the pod to try and like wake you up. As you see and hear the voices of Astrid Starborn,
what,
and Brenda Elizabeth,
what, guys. Let me out!
And you can hear them on the other side of the glass. I'm not going to do, like, a voice or anything, but
do
imagine
one,
that
you're
listening.
Do one, though, for fun.
Yeah. I'm basically doing Siobhan's anyway, so it's fine.
But Brenda Elizabeth's voice.
But they're banging on the glass, and they're saying, you have to help us! Quickly, come now! Quickly, Turbine, come now!
I kick the door.
As you kick the door swings open.
Ah.
You have to come with us right now! We have to leave the obelisk. We've been looking for you.
Oh, what? Wait, what is happening?
We've been looking for you. You have to leave.
How did you guys get here?
We've been looking for you for, like, ages. Like, for so long. These machines, and they're attacking Aberdeen, and if you don't come with us now, like, you're the only one that understands this stuff, and if you don't come with us, then Aberdeen's gonna die.
What year is it?
That's a clarification I, as the DM, don't have.
Okay, well, this minute doesn't matter.
Right, hey, let's go past this. Oh, okay, let's go past this. Yeah.
Me and Zach don't have time to come up with a calendar.
Okay, great, great, good. I get sort of like, I guess I get kind of dragged along with them. I'm not, but I'm more kind of like
as
disoriented, trying to like.
I think like as you suddenly like you're sort of in two minds of like, you know, what's going on? I need you to roll me a wisdom saving throw, please.
That is going to be a 15.
A 15? With a 15, you get the feeling that something is off, but you don't fundamentally mistrust these two. Like,
okay.
They're your friends. And I think, but as you go to, like, leave, there is, like, a moment of hesitation. I think as you look, the other pods are up and open. There's no one in them. And you notice that there's a door on the wall and not on the floor. But otherwise, everything is exactly the same.
Got it. Except the hatch is in a different place.
But yes, there's no hatch on the floor. There is a door now. I will say that you now have a choice. You basically can choose to stay where you are, or you can follow them through the door.
So I am... I sense that something's weird, but I'm not... I still, like, essentially trust them. What are they doing? Are they... They're urging
they seem
towards
just, like,
the
very flustered and panicked.
But they're not
they're,
doing
like,
anything?
They're, like trying to, like, pull you towards the door, but they're not, like, physically, like, moving you or anything like that.
Got it. Wait, what's through the door?
We have to go to Aberdeen to save Aberdeen from the machines.
Okay, go ahead. I'll be right behind you.
Okay.
Okay.
They will go through the door.
Okay, if they go first, then I'll follow.
Perfect. Okay, you go through the door.
Okay.
Amazing. Turbine disappears through the door.
Your head is cut off.
Yeah. Immediately. Got you again. Ha ha ha.
Go home.
Savissal, you awaken and you are... you can feel like a rumbling sort of feeling, and like you're getting jostled around a little bit, and you look up and you see that there is like four guards sort of standing, and they seem to be like carrying your pod, and as you sort of look up and around, you see a very familiar throne room, and I wonder like if you wouldn't mind describing what the throne room of your kind of native land looked like.
Oh, well, I know it well because Servissel was one of the many artisans that painted the grandiose scene that resides on the very ceiling of this throne room. It is a depiction similar to the one we saw through the portal of the muses at play, frolicking in their native plain, dancing, singing, doing arts of all sorts, sculpting, painting, fucking, as it were. Playing some sort of sport that involves fucking, but also game. It's a truly marvelous display. I could not have done it without my fellow artists, my fellow court artisans. So as I am reclining, I relax and I stare at my work, and I unfortunately notice a few imperfections, a few brushstrokes that need to be cleaned up a bit, and I make a mental note of them. But then my eye draws down towards the beautiful Ionic columns that hold up this massive chamber, gilded exquisitely by my friend Alfonso, one of the court goldsmiths, and I nod approvingly at Alfonso's work.
Oh, Alfonso, that gold leaf, my friend. Would that I could smoke it!
As you call out to Alfonso, mm-hmm. you like raise a hand to mm-hmm. sort of like, you know, touch up against the glass. And as you do, you realize your hand is that of a Goliath and not of a machine. At this point, the guards kind of like set the pod down, and it opens. And you see in front of you Lady Algenatican Crinkle. Who is like what, Zach?
I thought Algen, say it one more time.
Algen Crinkle.
You will treat her name with respect.
Lady Algenatican Crinkle to you.
And you see, yes, you recognize the lady well. She's sort of like a one of the sort of lesser nobility that presides here.
My patron.
There's simply no need. You don't have to shout at me. Every time
I leap out of the pod and I bow deeply.
Okay, marvelous. Okay,
it is yes. through your grace. It is through your magnanimous gifts that mm-hmm. the arts flourish in our great land. Thank you very much.
Yep, of course.
I okay, kiss if each I, of her toes.
If I offer you my hand, you have to promise not to put my whole hand in your mouth like you did last time.
My lady, I can promise nothing.
Then no hands. No hand kissing tonight.
Oh, very well, very well.
We have been searching for you for many, many, many years. Very pleased to have finally found you, for we have something that we, well, urgently needs your particular skills, you see.
I see.
We have a new temple that we have built. We have yet to find an artisan worthy enough to paint the beautiful ceiling.
You have a blank canvas, and you wish for me to grace it?
Indeed. Indeed we do.
It would be my greatest and highest honor.
Excellent.
I move to kiss her hand.
No, please. No, no. And she just sort of pats you on the head.
Right. I understand.
Yes, yes, good. Yes, yes, yes. Good. There we go. Okay. Shall we?
Yes. Shall we to the temple immediately?
Absolutely. Roll me a wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay.
Gonna be 17?
17. Okay. With a 17, you look actually as Lady Aljatakan Crinkle mm-hmm. holds out, it's
your tongue.
It's kind of stressing me out. That the funniest thing that I've come up with is in the whole podcast.
The K noise is funny.
Yeah, sure. Crinkle. The crinkle. As you see, she's holding out a hand. You see that there's like her hand you recognize this hand anywhere. Like, you've studied it, like, you've made it
a
part
it.
Of you. Yeah, you've probably sculpted it, you've painted it.
You know
it
like the back
times.
Of
literally, you know. Exactly.
Yes.
And I think as you're looking at it,
like
there's
hoof.
Like, you see that there's like a mole on like the other side of her hand, and you know immediately that this is some sort of false vision.
My lady, have you been to the dermatologist recently? I fear that you have a new mole.
Yes, I have been to the dermatologist, of course. Yes. And they moved my mole. Ha.
Funny.
They moved it, yes.
That must be a new practice popular amongst the royals. I've not heard of that.
It is, yes.
Movable moles.
You see a mole just slides up on her face. See?
Peculiar.
Hmm.
Strange, because I know that you had that mole placed on the other side as a small tattoo.
I did.
It is a voluntary beauty mark that I myself tattooed upon your
that
flesh.
That is correct, actually. Yes, that you did do.
And
that.
You would move it. Did I displease you, my lady?
Yes, you did. So you must follow me now, immediately.
Hmm.
Do you follow?
I think
I will say, like, as mm-hmm. well, now that you're yeah. looking around, there's, like, more things which seem out of place. And those brush strokes that you noticed earlier that were out of place, they weren't out of place. Like, you didn't make any mistakes. There's just mistakes in this sort of weird impression of this place that you once knew.
I think that if
there's
I were
someone walking on the ceiling. A bunch of minor... Yeah. It's like, that mole's not there. Those brush strokes. A giant chicken.
There's just moles everywhere.
Something seems to be slightly off.
A mole actually digs up through the ground and just scuttles around.
Well, I feel like if we were to go to the temple, I would like to bring my team, the full slate of court artisans. So please let me fetch them first.
Yes, of course. And then you see that, like, just like a team of artisans, like, walks in through the door, like, we are a slate of artisans. And we are here to help, I think, yes, you.
Where is Alfonso?
You see one comes from the back, just like a little bird person comes from the back and goes, I am Alfonso!
Alfonso! Wait a minute, where's your mole? Everyone's moles are in the wrong place! What is happening? They're multiplying!
And I think as
they're
the moles,
multiplying.
as the...
Very good!
The chokesmith is in fine form today.
A face comes out of the wall and says that.
Face comes out of the wall and goes,
no. When did the court jester merge with the wall? I don't remember that happening.
No.
Everything.
Let me free. Please.
What kill a me. Jokester.
Kill me.
Another normal day at court.
I could forgive. Yeah, go ahead.
As these moles, like, basically, like, it overtake the scene, it's almost like they kind of the scene becomes like all one, like a wash of one color, and then sort of fades away, and you find yourself standing in a very familiar space for you, as you see these lines of green energy running along the floor, and you're in this sort of almost seemingly endless expanse, the place that you remember that you would go whenever your robot body would like power down. You would be kind of like shunted back here for a time until the robot kind of awakened again, and at which point you would be pulled back down into the space. But you are here now, and it feels like you are here and actually like solidly here, as opposed to your previous experiences, which were just fleeting.
I think I'm initially upset because normally when I would be here, it would be as sort of a digital ghost wandering around, trapped in my own mind. But now I see that I have more volition here. I'm very upset about the molage that I just witnessed. The mole mirage.
The mole mirage, right?
But I guess I gather myself up and say, come now, Vissel. You knew that was too good to be true. You can see through any illusion. You've created many yourself.
He just really loves moles. It's too good to be true, but everyone had moles.
Too good.
In exactly the right place.
Just the way I like
only
it.
Only way to describe it, too good to be true.
And with that,
movable
we will,
moles gods.
We will fade out of this scene, and Jin. Immediately. You actually sit up so quickly that you smack your head on the glass of the,
knock back out
of the
again.
Pod. And you, as you look around, you see that there are bits of like obelisk and stuff that are floating in water, like in this sort of like ocean. And as you kind of gather yourself, you realize that yes, your pod is like floating in the middle of the sea. And you can see off in the distance.
I'm gonna Ralph.
You barf in the inside the pod, and now the
dude,
whole pod's
blowing
smells.
Chunks.
No,
it's just everywhere. You look that there is like a shoreline, and on the shoreline you can see that it's weird. You've seen the shoreline like this before. But it's sort of different to how you remember seeing it now. Like, there are no trees, or any trees that there are, they're kind of barren and devoid of any life or leaves or anything. This is this feels very much like the world that you left. And on the shoreline, you can see your cousin, Hyvon, is like waving at you like this. And behind your cousin is like a bunch of townspeople that you remember, including the old lady that you used to help. Kind of with like all of these kind of like sacks and like bags and everything, and they're trying to it seems like they're gathering kind of their stuff, and he's kind of like waving and screaming like sort of at you, and then from behind him you see over the hills come pouring this like that same like plague like locust like swarm of machines.
Oh no.
Behind you! And someone threw up in
just
here!
What?
Someone threw up in here, but more importantly, behind you!
What are you saying?
Two things!
Okay.
Someone threw up in here. Someone threw up in here, and then more importantly, more greater importance.
Someone threw up in there?
Yes!
Oh.
And another. Look behind you!
You need a hand. Clean it?
Yeah, but I think.
Okay,
look
I'm
behind
coming.
You!
I'm coming! Oh.
Okay.
And it takes like a little while.
Did everyone swim or just
No, it's just Hyvon. It's just swimming over to you.
Dude.
And then he manages to like pry the thing open.
Oh god. Oh gosh, I really did throw up. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Oh my god. It's like someone like shook up the thing as well.
Yeah.
It's like
we don't have to talk about it that much.
Around in here for a while, huh?
Yeah, you don't have to talk about it that much.
No way to know who threw up.
No way to know.
Oh,
listen.
Okay. Hey. Yeah, but do you see behind you? There's all this. It's like a plague of Modrons or something.
You know what they are?
I think they are like the Modrons that
seem.
Yeah, I do. I mean, we gotta figure something out.
You have to help us.
Yeah, I mean,
you can help us, right?
Yeah, I think I should be able to help. But there's kind of a lot, and I think it's just run, kind of.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Roll me a wisdom saving.
It's only on 11.
An 11 total?
Yeah.
Okay. You,
I have advantage against being charmed if this is a wisdom saving throw.
Ooh, yeah, go ahead, roll again.
Nat one?
Yeah. Okay. As you climb out of this pod, I think...
I barfed.
you just barf again. I think as you step, like, kind of crawl out of the pod and into the cold water, I think as you hit the kind of cold water and you kind of have a moment of, like, you kind of, like, your mind snaps back to the room that you were just in, and you can't help but feel a little bit like, what? Like, there's, like, a very brief moment of confusion, and, like, it's slightly unsettling. But you kind of, like, shake it off and begin to, like, plow forwards. And towards this, like, shoreline. So, Bissell.
Yes?
You now find yourself in this sort of strange plane, and you notice that almost exactly equidistant from where your friends were in their pods, you see the bodies of your friends sort of slumped on the ground, sort of drooling a little bit, and sort of they have this weird kind of glazed, kind of like almost like the whole of their eyes is like white. And they're just kind of like slumped on the floor like that. Go ahead and roll me a perception check.
Okay.
I'm slumped, dude. Do it.
I definitely think that both of them are probably like whispering little, like, yeah, you know, just like in their breath as they're like,
friend Elizabeth, my God. When did you get here? Did you ever find that dolphin horse or whatever it was you were looking for?
Sweet muses, they're both covered in puke.
Great grandparents. It feels like it's been maybe a couple years since I've seen you, Brenda Elizabeth. I kind of remember some details about you, but not all of them.
That's like such strong turbine energy to be like, yeah, I kind of don't remember you that much. Like, you know, we were good friends, don't get me wrong. I just moved on.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I got a 14.
14. Okay. As you look around, you see, like, you've seen plenty of times this space, and normally you're in, like, wildly kind of different things. You do remember, however, that whenever you were, like, in a, like, major, like, dense city or whatever, whenever you'd then come to this place, you'd be in a very, like, densely populated area of this sort of weird digital space.
Right.
And as you turn around, you notice that, like, again, sort of, like, if you were to sort of take a kind of guess, you reckon that you're probably as far away from this strange cluster of obelisks that is slightly off, like a few kind of 100 meters away, than you were when you were in the obelisk, in the God Obelisk, from the town of Witherfront. And I think with your previous experience, basically you can tell that this space seems to be some sort of like overlay of
it's like mapped
itself
over the same size.
So it's like where there is big dense populations of people, there is then dense populations of these weird obelisk structures.
So it's like the neon green map at the beginning of Escape from New York.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, but yeah. It's like if it's a Chris Nolan movie, I will throw myself.
It's not.
Oh, thank God. I made a reference to something else. Yes!
Yeah!
Yeah! Woo!
It's kind of like a neon green grid.
I mean, yeah, I knew that.
Like a topographical grid of like the entire world, like in this like black and neon green.
Yes,
awesome.
Basically.
Okay, got it.
So you can see these structures, and you can see like movement around the base of the structures. There are, you've kind of interacted with people in this space
before. Normally, this is where me and my fallen comrade 69 would laugh and share japes.
Mm, of course.
It's
the intro.
Oh, yes, hold on. Now that I am back in my normal body, I pull out one of my mini rags that I would use for wiping away paint or cleaning my hands, and I'm just going to like clean up Jen's mouth a little bit. There, friend. There. It'll be
okay. Accidentally smear some red paint like on his mouth and give him like a little Joker smile.
What's that smell?
It's turpentine.
Just a little reference to the Chris Miller Dark Knight movies. And just real quick, because I just realized we haven't actually described it yet, what does your actual body look like?
Oh, okay, yeah. So I think I am like Goliath in stature, but I think I'm essentially just like a really tall, incredibly buff human. I think I've got like a big black bushy beard. I'm wearing nothing but an apron.
Yep. Ass out.
I think as Alex,
you're like Vulcan.
That's got to be a thong, right?
Like, yeah. With a thong. Mm-hmm.
You asked what happens when you fart in a thong, but I think you knew all along.
No. It's been so long.
The answer was inside you the whole time.
It's an answer and everyone must outside seek themselves.
So yeah, I think I've got like this apron, a lot of tool belts, and a thong, maybe some sandals.
Cool.
And then I've got like a
dressed for combat. Absolute dressed.
Ready for anything.
You can't say it that plainly.
I can't think of an outfit where you'd be less adept to do anything than apron, thong, and sandals.
Oh, and
you know,
my
battle
sandals,
attire.
My sandals are definitely Crocs, I think. They're like paint-covered Crocs.
Sure.
You know, the ancient equivalent of that.
Yeah.
I've got like a big...
There's clogs with holes in them.
Yeah. On one side, I've got like a big chisel, and on the other side, I've got like a big sculptor's mallet, I think maybe like slung behind my back on like an apron strap. Oh, and then I'm also covered in like all sorts of intricate tattoos, I think, as well.
Very cool. And I think then as you're looking around this plane, you see that there is there seems to be some sort of like epicenter some way off in the distance. And from it, you see emerges this like wave, this like wave that kind of then comes over and washes over you. And as it does, you feel like it's like not quite like feeling sick, but you feel suddenly like you're like on sea legs for a moment.
Ooh.
It makes you feel like slightly overwhelmed, but you manage to like center yourself and you kind of get the feeling that like you can't withstand that too often. Like that feels like it would like eventually start to have like a pretty significant toll on your body. So like
my tolerance is way down.
Yeah, like getting to some sort of cover might be an advisable thing to do.
Can I carry my friends to cover?
You are absolutely strong enough to carry a gnome and a human. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I get like one. I think as a Goliath, I am able to like upgrade one level as far as like what I can carry.
Yeah, you're one size higher, I think.
I'm like a 110-pound elf, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then like a gnome. I mean, how
small? Pretty small.
So yeah, it's fine. Yeah, 100%.
Great. Yeah, I scoop them both up, and I think that like the
feel
camera,
like you just pick like Turbine up, just like by his clothes. Just,
yeah.
Like...
Although this is weird. I think we actually had a question about this. I think when I hear gnome, I think that's got to be the smallest. That's raised. But halflings are smaller than gnomes.
Really?
Is that true?
Yeah, I think that...
What?
That
seems crazy.
I think if you look in the player's handbook, it's like where it's like, oh, average height of a halfling, average height of a gnome, it imagines gnomes as being like a little bit bigger than halflings.
Huh.
Yeah. But I definitely think of them as like David the gnome, little tiny, live in a tiny tree.
They live in a garden.
Yeah.
Between 3 and 4 foot tall for a gnome,
okay,
it says, and then, let's see, halfling...
It's the same for halflings. Are they like...
It's about 3 foot tall, yeah. So, average, yeah.
A gnome is maybe a little bigger than
like
a
half a foot.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's too big. For me are like the garden gnome. Like, you know what I mean? They are small.
You are like, you see a rabbit, and it's like, whoa, I can ride you, you know?
Yeah.
You live in a mushroom.
A mouse could kill you.
Yeah. Especially if it's got a little rapier and a cool hat.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Ooh,
that mouse would be dangerous.
Yeah. Anyway, brief aside, I just... Just because every time I think,
well,
no, I think
not an Amalur, motherfucker.
Yeah, great, good. I'd rather be a little
tiny guy.
Oh, no. Oh,
Turbo.
I'm going to drink dew out of an acorn cup.
Travisal struggles to pick you up.
I'm it's very
like,
dense.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like the dense matter from Futurama. It's just
so small, so dense.
The next two episodes is just Vissel trying to pick him up. Okay, another strength check. Come on. We just need that one nat 20. Come
I've
on.
Been using that infinite egg machine. It's really made me kind of buff.
I would love to see Sabissal on the infinite egg machine.
Oh, I could.
So huge.
I think I could really last.
Yeah.
I mean, mouth opens, eggs emptying into a void.
Yes,
in my head, I was genuinely
yes.
thinking it was like basically the scene from The Simpsons where Homer
gets donut
donuts.
Machines.
Yeah. That's basically, yeah, that's basically what I was picturing.
In hell, yeah.
So yes, I scoop up Turbine and I put him in my apron pocket, and then I sling Jin over my neck as if he's like a scarf or something like that. And
I Jin sling.
So yeah, Jin being a real like sort of nimble guy just sort of wraps himself around your neck like a scarf. You
okay?
Make your way. He just randomly says in his sleep.
Wow.
Okay.
Time to go, friends.
Okay. Yeah, Jin. Momentarily, the sea just kind of goes whoop, like
wow.
In your
blood rushed to my head.
Hey, Rotatoes, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I have been Jasper William Cartwright, your GM. This has also starred Zach Oyama, Mike Trapp, and Caldwell Tanner. If you've enjoyed this arc and you'd like to leave us a review, it'll help us find new Rotatoes. And of course, if you would like ad-free listening, episodes in their full and glorious form, plus a bunch of extra bonus content like Arc Box, then you can go ahead and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, link in the description below. And as always, thank you so much for being here. You legends!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.